Theatre Royal. The very name summons up something of grandeur and eloquence, and it was. Hosted by Ralph Richardson, these big-name productions also included the creme de la creme of acting talent, from John Gielgud, Robert Morley and Orson Welles, to Trevor Howard, Michael Redgrave and Laurence Olivier. They were based on works by the world's leading authors, among them Charles Dickens, Henry James, Oscar Wilde and Anton Chekhov. These are but a few of whose company we shall be keeping as we raise the curtain on our first instalment of theatrical history.
The National Broadcasting Company present, transcribed, Sir Ralph Richardson in Theatre Royal.
This is Ralph Richardson. Our play today is Sir James Barrie's Half an Hour. It was originally written in the form of a one-act play, and so it lends itself easily to our purpose. Barrie invariably wrote his stage directions in a personal and descriptive manner. I don't think I can do better than to borrow from his own stage direction to make the introduction. I myself shall play the part of Richard Garson in Sir James Barrie's Half an Hour. The place is London, and the time, a more leisured age than we know today. Mr. Garson, we can hardly call him the hero of the story. Mr. Garson is a financier, and his young wife, Lady Lillian, live in a mansion near Park Lane. Later this evening, they will be entertaining guests there. But now, they are alone. They're in the middle of their periodic brawls. He is being insensitive, as usual. She is being provocative, also as usual. In fact, it is not a very pretty scene.
Why don't you strike me, Richard? After all, I'm only a woman, and there's no one within call.
A woman, you useless thing. That's just what you're not.
How strong you are, aren't you? No wonder I love you. Look how you've crumpled my frock.
Well, you certainly asked for it.
Did I? You know, I can't make up my mind whether green is really my colour. What do you think? What colour do you best like to knock me about in, Richard?
You mind what you're saying?
Well, do you mind telling me what all this scene has been about?
Oh, I can't even remember. Anyhow, what it matter what it was that started us off, something always does, and in the end, we end up by seeing exactly what we think of each other.
Of course, but we know what we think of each other before we start.
Maybe we do. But how many times have I said to that father of yours...
Oh, Pops. By the way, I never heard how much you paid him for me when we got married.
One way and another, a good £20,000.
I can't help feeling proud.
If I could have got you for half, I wouldn't have had you.
How like you to say that, Richard. Still, there are other women for whom you could have paid even more. There must have been some reason why you picked on me.
Oh, you rotten old aristocratic families. All so poor and so well turned out. The come-on look in the melting eyes of you and the disdain of you. I suppose they went to my head. You were the worst, so I chose you.
I won.
Oh, you didn't need to come to me unless you liked, you know.
I admit that. It was your money that brought me.
Quite so.
I'm sorry, Richard, for both of us.
Ah, nonsense.
You must at least allow. I never pretended it was anything but your wealth that drew me.
I never wanted it to be anything else.
I'll like you again. Perhaps that's even some little excuse for me. Not very much.
Soft sorta.
I dare say. Why don't we end it?
Do you know who you're talking to with my name in the city?
Oh, of course. But if you won't, Richard, has it ever struck you that someday I may?
You? Never.
You have a mighty faith in me.
Mighty.
May I ask why?
Isn't it obvious you know why? In that expensive little heart of yours, you can't afford to. You're too fond of my money.
I see.
Tragic, you're...